What do you want to know?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Now it's garbage.
Another Movie Night.
Hello everybody and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night and I am Scott, and with me is my possessed cat person, Joe. I have no idea what I'm saying anymore.
Everything that you said is wrong except possessed. I am not a cat person.
Well, if you were possessed by a cat, you'd be a cat person.
If I was possessed by a cat...
It's not even possessed.
I mean, I'd be a zombie.
You know what we're doing today?
Talking trash.
Talking trash indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review film unless you know what the worst is.
Did you do that all in one breath?
One breath. Yep.
That was good.
Thank you. I'm trying to get through really quick on that.
Okay, I like it.
These days I'm attempting.
Okay. You do good.
It's September.
Yeah.
And we are celebrating National Cat Month by watching some low-rated cat flicks for the month. And because last month was National Dog Month, we are doing dogs versus cats. This week we are watching We are talking about a movie with the tagline, are you ready for this?
Yes.
When you hear the cat breathing down your neck, start praying. Before you finish your amen, you're dead.
No. Damn you, Fulci.
We are talking about 1981's The Black Cat.
That's so...
It has a 5.8 on IMDb from 4,853 reviewers.
5.8?
It was directed by Lucio Fulci, director of four films we've done on this show so far. The Beyond, Zombie 3, Don't Torture a Duckling, and The New York Ripper.
It says a lot, actually.
Yes, it does say a lot.
I mean, of all of the, like, we've spoken about this before, the Italian directors, he's... Not my favorite, but...
Yeah, he's a fan favorite. For some reason, he is a huge favorite.
I'm trying to give him a chance with these movies, and so far it's just not looking good, man.
I know. This is his 36th film. It's one of three films he released in 81.
Oh, boy.
The other was being The Beyond and House by the Cemetery.
Okay, well, I did not care much for House by the Cemetery.
I think House by the Cemetery might be my favorite of his. I know, that's really weird. I don't know if I should say that, because Zombie 3 is the one that we're not supposed to like, but we kind
of
do.
I mean, Zombie 3 is our favorite of his. It is. It point blank is.
House by the Cemetery has grown on me a lot, too. It's wild. It doesn't make any sense. None of his movies really do.
No. House by the Cemetery makes more sense than this thing. It's better than this thing that we just watched.
Well, it's like he did a whole bunch of films with The Beyond, House by the Cemetery, and I think there's another one where it's supposed to be his Gates of Hell franchise, like where he's got like a series of movies that happen to be the Gates of Hell opening up.
Yeah.
And that's a whole thing with him. And this movie, he is also credited as a screenwriter. It is based off an Edgar Allan Poe story, The Black Cat, but I'm going to say it loosely.
Well, that story has been done many times in cinema, The Black Cat.
Well, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, every single thing in thrillers or that, you know, like, kind of psychological horror is really based off of one of Edgar Allan Poe's stories. It all kinds of stems from that, right? Because I was going to say that the original story of the Black Cat is about a guy going crazy, and the use of the cat or alcohol is basically shown through his insanity. Like, those are like the stand-ins for it. Hallucinations.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie is not anything like that.
Yeah.
The cat is real.
A
guy isn't going crazy, okay, particularly.
But no, it's not. But is the cat real, though?
Yes, the cat is real.
It's weird. I mean, I know that they're seeing it and it's walking around, but there's just so much going on in this movie that would suggest that the cat is, there's some sorcery. Like, the cat's like...
Yeah, well, there's definitely sorcery, because our main character in this movie that we're talking about today is a mutant. He's an X-Men.
What?
He has superpowers. He says it in the movie. He literally says it in the movie.
It's just witchery. It's all
There's
it
no
is.
Witchery involved.
What do you mean?
He has a superpower.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
And what is the superpower?
That's like the whole point in this movie. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are we going to have another repeat of last week where you kept saying the word witch over and over, although they in last week's episode, they told you that they were aliens?
No.
I literally had to put in the movie in the podcast last week. I had to put in, she still doesn't know that this isn't about witches.
I know it's not about witches.
You kept saying it over and over.
However, again, I feel like this film is about some sort of witchcraft.
It's not.
Well, they say you communicate with the dead.
Scarcely unusual. Any medium does that.
Then why do you do it secretly? What are you afraid of?
Because of the stupidity of these people. Their ignorance makes me behave like a bloody grave robber. Perhaps we've all possibilities within ourselves we are not aware of. Powers we ourselves don't understand.
Maybe we don't want to, because we're terrified.
I have such powers, and I'm not terrified.
And let's not keep repeating it again this
Fine.
Week.
Fine. Okay.
Is it just because you're so used to seeing a black cat and automatically assuming that they are about witches?
No.
I think that's what's going on. You don't want to admit that?
No, I'll admit anything, because I'll admit when I'm being a turd or I'm wrong or something. But,
I didn't say that. You know, I didn't say you were any of those.
You know, there's this. Let's just talk about the plot and then we'll get into it, because
yeah,
there's a lot of, first of all, this movie, I'm just going to throw this out there. It's a friggin' snooze fest. Okay? I barely can hold myself awake the whole time.
So if you're checking us out for the first time, the big, if you listen to the podcast for the first time, this is your introduction to us. Here's a little information about us. Joe is not a cat person. That's the first thing to get out of the way. It's not that we hate cats. I don't hate cats, by the way. But Joe doesn't hate cats. It's just that she's not a cat person.
Is that what you're going with?
You're just straight up saying you hate them?
Okay. I don't hate cats. I think cats are very beautiful animals. I don't trust cats. I have had a personal prior trauma with a cat, and I am scarred because of it, and I just think that they're assholes. They're straight up will burn down your house assholes.
That's yes, and this whole movie is virtually Joe's nightmare of cats.
Yep.
And the other thing I need to add in here real quick is that I have a huge problem with the movie genre giallo.
Yeah, I know, and I love that.
Okay, I'm telling the audience, for anybody who's checking us out for the first time, they're like, oh, someone's talking about the black cat and Fulci. I can't wait to hear. Okay, now they're going to be disappointed. I just want to give you a heads up straight out of the gate here. Fulci and Giallo and as a whole thing, I don't get it. And this movie hits every one of those beats of what the hell do people like about this?
I do understand that you have some sort of reservations about the whole giallo.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't even genre, know what it is.
But I feel, though, like they're intriguing movies. I do think that the Italian directors, like some of them kind of take from each other and borrow from each other in their style of filmmaking. But if we can just address Fulci here for a moment. It's the out-and-out zooming in on the eyes that will just put you right to sleep.
But that's not just him. That seems to be a thing with all the Italian horror movie directors. Bava does it too.
Yeah.
Bava, Argento. And I have definitely loosened up on some of these directors. This movie director in particular, I don't know what it is, but it's like all of those tropes that I don't like are here. And they're so heavy. And they are like to the point where they aggravated me. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just want to get that out there because this movie starts with the problem number one. Okay? It starts where you didn't know it started.
I was like, wait, do I have to go back a smidge? Yeah. No, there's no credits. It's just a dude walking.
A dude's walking where we had to stop and go, wait a minute, do we miss something? Is this the wrong thing? No, this is really the movie.
Yeah.
A guy's walking. A guy gets in his car. Apparently gets in his car. We're watching Cat Vision.
Which I hate.
Yeah, it's a thing where a movie uses the camera to pretend we're through the viewpoint of the creature, killer, monster, whatever. And this movie is particularly about a cat. So it's through that vision. And now the thing we're seeing here is in his car, he doesn't shut his back door.
But
he leaves it halfway open.
Was it okay? First of all, did he have anything to do with this? Because what they're making it seem like is that the back door was open as if someone was able to just get in. Like, he didn't do it. He didn't know the door was open.
Yeah, what happened was he puts, I think, his like a jacket in the back and then didn't shut it all the way, which everybody's done once.
Okay, well, they made it seem like the cat helped himself into the car.
Well, that's like, exactly what happens next, because what? The cat is in the car, which we were only left to assume that the cat had opened the door without his knowledge and shut it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what they wanted us to believe. The cat did that.
Which,
I'm like, cats can open doors?
So
that's pretty impressive.
This movie is so scatterbrained. It's one of those movies that, it's trying to, like I said, I know a lot of people don't care about logic in film. Like, it does a continuity. I do. I actually think continuity is very important. And I think that a little bit of world building logic is necessary. Well, this movie is saying that this cat can open doors. And we have it a sequence later on in the movie where the cat certainly does unlock a door. And we watch the whole thing for a good 5 minutes.
It's absurd.
Yeah. But where the continuity problem comes in for me and the lore building of the world is that it also can teleport.
That's why the hell
does it have to open doors?
Exactly. That's why I'm telling you. There's sorcery going on here.
There's no sorcery.
Perhaps we've all possibilities within ourselves we are not aware of. Powers we ourselves don't understand.
Maybe we don't want to, because we're terrified.
We'll get into it. Okay, so the cat has got in the back of this car. Now, we don't know who this guy is.
No introduction at all to him. He's just a dude.
And then, literally, there's not a line of dialogue in this sequence. What happens is, he hears the meowing, or the growling from the cat. He's driving. He turns around, looks at a cat. The cat looks at him. We have to see close-ups of eyes. It just goes on and on, and we're like, what is this?
This is our first foray into what's happening. The eye zoom in.
Yeah, which is a staple trope of these movies, and mm-hmm. I find them appalling a lot of the time, because sometimes you can use them really properly, and then sometimes you can overuse them, and this is one of those movies that lingers on eyes.
It was so bad.
And the eye obsession and I don't even think this movie is giallo. I don't know what giallo is
not.
Particularly.
It has to have some sort of, like, you know, film noir, like, era of mystery, like, whodunit kind of thing.
I don't think that's true. I think it's usually Italian.
It's like
Italian murder mystery?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you.
And this movie isn't like that.
Like an era of mystery or something, like a, you know, whodunit kind of thing. And this movie is not that. It's not that at all. Just because it happens to be made by an Italian filmmaker doesn't mean it's in that subgenre.
That's why I get confused, because this, and it also doesn't have a lot of the other tropes that giallo has, like a man or a killer in black gloves, trench coat, you know, sunglasses, switchblades. Mm-hmm. It does have everything else. It has, well, okay, let's just say what happens here in the sequence, because the guy is driving and he looks at the cat looks at him. He looks finally back at the road, then looks back at the cat again. Now you think that he would say, "What the hell are you doing in here?" and get scared, stop the car. No.
No.
Finally, he just is hypnotized. Is what we're getting here is that the cat is hypnotizing him, because he basically gets like, you see his dropping his guard in his face, and he lets go of the wheel and he speeds up and he goes full on into another car and he shoots out the window.
Yep. And he careens out the window, and then the car, you know, catches on fire and the cat's gone out of the car. We don't see the cat again.
We do. That's right, the actual, the first thing that happened now is the cat gets out of the car and goes on a walk. And we have to follow it with music and the title cards.
Did he use his little paw to open the car door? Because we don't see him getting out of the car.
We just see the cat
walking.
He just
teleports.
Yeah. I actually think we see the cat looking from like somewhere else, watching the guy die.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So he somehow got out of the car when we weren't looking. And
I would
perched
say,
himself on top of a building and was watching the guy burn up.
And then we get like sweet music.
Okay, here we go again with this godforsaken elevator music.
It's like, I wouldn't call it awful. It's just that tonally, the problem with these movies is that it never really connects properly. I will say there's two composed pieces of music in this by the composer that are interesting, but they sound exactly like something else I've seen before, or I've heard before, I mean, and it was bothering me a lot, but it's this kind of song where it's like, you just watched a murder.
Yeah, it's
just, we don't know what we are, so it's jarring. And then you play basically a nice, sweet walking music for the cat.
It's like a melodic picnic-having song.
It's odd. And it's a weird way to start the
film.
You're
not getting horror vibes or like crazy, like killer cat vibes or anything from this music. I'm like, I don't know. I think that music in a movie is very important because it sets the tone for the movie. This set anything.
Which is where I think we talked about, you know, Argento. I will talk about Argento saying that he wisely, I think the reason that his movies connect with me so well is that he worked really well with a composer.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I feel like the music becomes a part of the, it's a character.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about it the most is that every one of his scenes, his shots, his, all the ideas, the color usage will pop with that music tone. And you feel like this is what I'm supposed to be feeling.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
The problem with some of these other directors is that the music isn't connecting with me.
Right.
Sometimes it's just like hot saxophone, all of a sudden hot sax, into a like a murder sequence. And you're just like, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
But I had, you know, people comment on one of our videos that we did a Giallo month, last year or something, and trying to figure it out. And I've had people like saying, you guys are like way off on talking about the composers. And I'm sorry. Like, it's just our viewpoint is that this music doesn't exactly work sometimes. It needs to be something that gets you to feel what's happening. And when you start off with a murder or a death, a violent death, and you don't know anything that's happening, we need a tone. And this does not set the tone.
No, not at all. And in fact, it takes me in a different direction.
It takes us out of it. Yeah, it's like, what?
Because I'm like, oh, this will be one of those movies where it's just a lot of walking and looking. I'm like, God damn it.
Exactly. Well, he goes home to, I guess we watch his whole march where he goes to his house where he lives, and we see an old man.
This guy. Okay, can we just talk about this guy first? Okay.
The actor, his name is Patrick McGee.
Okay.
He's playing Professor Robert Miles. He was in The Clockwork Orange, Asylum, and Mask of the Red Death with Vincent Price.
Okay. I knew I recognized him. But he also looks like kind of like a Karloff kind of villain.
Okay.
That he's shown up in, you know, with our guys in the past. He's playing Professor Robert Miles?
Yes.
Okay. What is he a professor of? Can we talk about okay. what the hell is going on?
Well, a fun fact here is that Fulci asked Peter Cushing to do this. And he wanted him or Donald Pleasance to be this actor. I don't know what happened with Donald Pleasance, but Peter Cushing said no because he knew the director's reputation for gory filmmaking. Oh. And he thought it was too much for him.
Okay, that's a good piece of trivia.
I gotta tell you, I do see Cushing saying that, although mm-hmm. some of his movies that he has done are pretty brutal. So,
I mean, yeah, didn't we just watch The Creeping Flesh with the freaking, you know, cutting off the finger and, yeah. you know, with the skin growing back and all that biz?
I mean, yeah, he's done those movies as well, but I guess this was like too far, this director, which I get. I've seen a lot of his films. I get the nature of it. I can see some of it being, you know, overly pushing the envelope.
Yeah, but really good paint. It's like, you know,
no, blood. that's a whole nother conversation.
You know, I'm just saying, like, the blood is, it's just, it's not even good paint. Yeah. It's just not. It looks terrible. So, you know.
Yeah, so, we see this guy, and he is doing this thing where he's listening to tapes. And he's listening to something that sounds like people screaming.
It just sounds like whispers and screams. And I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah,
house looks like a dungeon.
Yes, that's he lives in one. Like, it looks like a castle inside. It is crazy looking inside.
He wears a turtleneck, which, you know, all villains have them. And yes. he's off-putting as hell. He's got these, like, you know, evil villain eyebrows. He has villain eyebrows.
Yeah, the unkept eyebrow. Yeah. yeah.
He just looks like, a disastrous villain.
I suppose they told you a lot of nonsense about Robert Miles.
What are you afraid of?
Because of the stupidity of these people.
Yeah, and I love that the cat comes home and virtually, like, they look at each other. There's a little bit of, like, a sting in the music to say, like, oh, these two don't get along. It's almost like a scene where the cat comes home and goes, I'm back. Did you make dinner? Is it in the oven?
Yeah, fix me a drink.
Yeah, exactly. And you kind of know, oh, these two just don't get along. Right? Now, there's another thing happening here where we see a woman taking photographs in a cemetery. Another staple of these movies, cemeteries.
Yeah, it looks like there are some ruins, you know, she was trying to photograph.
Yes.
And she comes upon a tomb right in the ground, but there's nothing else around. It's just like a crypt in the middle of nowhere. It was very weird.
Yeah, this actress is, I'm going to say real
Mimsy?
Fast. Mimsy Farmer.
Mimsy Farmer.
She's playing Jill. She was in Four Flies on Velvet. She actually went on to become a sculptor in movies, and she actually worked on movies like Pan's Labyrinth and the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, wow.
In the art departments, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's
pretty
awesome.
Interesting, yeah.
Very cool.
But she, yeah, she's, like you said, I love that she turns around and she sees an open crypt. She goes inside of it, mm-hmm. which everybody does. Like, you see an open crypt, you're like, yeah, I gotta go in. So that's where I thought, oh my God, here we go. She's gonna cross the boundaries of, like, heaven and hell, and we're gonna have another gateway movie or zombies or something crazy.
I initially thought that too. I thought we were gonna have a gateway movie.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is gonna, it's gonna explain it. The only thing that really happens here is she's taking, like, photographs of, like, there's just skeletons everywhere, and she finds, which I didn't know what this was at first, it turns out to be a little microphone.
Well, it looked like a battery, and I was like, oh.
At first, I thought it was a battery as well.
But it was like a new battery, and it would not have gone, you know, with the situation that was happening down there, that with all the skeletons, it didn't fit right.
Yeah, it didn't fit in this, like, this is the only new age thing in this crypt.
Right,
so
yeah.
It did stand out, but it did have a wire, so I was like, what is that? And then there's a close-up of it, and when she grabs it, she gets out of she's gonna leave the tomb after she finds it, and she sees someone walking around, and it's a cop. It's the local cop, and he's telling her, like, straight up, I wouldn't go in areas like that.
Don't be poking around, you're by yourself. Yeah, something could have happened.
More about the fact that the dead don't like being disturbed, and there's, like, local legends.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, we are getting there. We're going to go there. Something happened in this crypt and something was unleashed. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't matter. None of this matters. Nope. The guy's like nice to her. She seems like she wants to talk to him, but he leaves. The next thing we see is that the thing that she found, the microphone, is also the microphone that guy has.
Yep.
This professor. Now, he goes to another cemetery. He goes to another cemetery and he gets audio. He puts the microphone and starts recording in the middle of the night in a cemetery that's full of fog, of course. And I don't know for a fact. I'm just going to guess here that this is the tomb or the grave of the guy that died in the opening with a car crash, but I'm not sure.
I think, yes, it is. But now it's like, okay, I understand what's happening here, that those, you know, disembodied voices or whatever he's got playing on his recorders are from his recordings from the cemetery, as yes. If there's ghosts flying about.
He's saying that he's talking to the dead. That's what he does.
He's talking to the dead. Okay. And again, what is he a professor of?
Let's move on from the professor thing. He's Professor X. I told you he's a mutant.
All right, so we just know he's talking to the dead. I mean, it's...
He's talking why? To the dead. He has abilities that would kind of line up with a clairvoyant person, or we've seen in movies before, he is that kind of guy or the kind of character who can touch objects and see things. Mm-hmm. And that... like also goes into talking to the dead. I don't know if going to the coffin and talking to it and then recording it is how it's working here for him, but he has these abilities of crossing over in some weird way. Okay, so that is set up here, and we see that not only is he recording the grave, but it does start talking. There's also the cat watching, and he sees that he feels the cat's watching
this
him.
Goddamn cat. Yeah. Okay. All we do in this movie is zoom in on the cat's eyes.
Yes.
It's annoying.
They're beautiful eyes.
They are, but it's like,
looks okay. Much better than last week's puppet eyes.
Hey,
but
watch it.
This is my favorite. There's a guy hiding behind a tomb, like a statue in the graveyard. Like with he's like in shock. Ooh, what's happening over there? You know, he's doing that face, and he's like just a local bar fly guy who goes to the bar and starts conversations up in the bar about the crazy things he's seen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happens. He goes to the bar.
We have a lot of friends like that.
Yeah, we probably were one at one time. And I told him this is my life goal when I get older. I want to sit in the back of the bar and be like, I knew of that person you're talking about
a long time ago. Doomed.
Yes.
Doomed.
I want to be that guy who has the information about everything that's happening.
Well, you've been around a lot, old timer. What can you tell us? Can you tell us about the legends around these parts?
Old Grizzled Scott.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to come home from that and I'm going to take off my fake eye patch and my hat. And you're going to be like, how was your hobby? Oh, I had a good night tonight. I told people about mermaids.
About the first mermaid you ever met?
Yeah. I'll tell you about those mermaids.
You ever say the first mermaid you ever met, you married her.
Oh, there you go.
Had a little mer-children.
Sang her siren song. So this guy does go to the bar and he does exactly that. He's saying that old man Winters, whatever his name is, Professor Robert Mills, old man Mills is talking to the dead. He is a lunatic and he's telling everybody in the bar, and everybody's like, yeah, he is. Something's wrong with him, this guy.
Hasn't anyone in the town ever met this old man? I mean, you take one look at him, you already met, you know that he's a freaking, you know, weirdo. He's a weirdo already.
I wouldn't go that far, but
he stares and like
there's
plots your demise with his eyeballs.
We'll get into that. Yeah, that's the actual point of the movie, and So he does that. It turns out that Jill, the girl who found the microphone, is hearing this and hearing that he's recording the dead with like a microphone and tape system. She's like, where is that guy? What's his name? And I want to meet him.
You know, I get it. She's a photographer, but I would end it there. Take some pictures intrigued. And go home. You don't need to be, you know, skulking around this old man's house and stuff. He's completely creepy. I mean, he's wearing a turtleneck. Come on.
Yeah, sign number one of creepy.
Yeah, you wear a turtleneck, you're a freaking villain, okay?
Yeah.
Straight up, that's it.
Something's wrong. Something's happening.
Something is wrong with you.
She goes to the house. She goes to this guy's house, and she talks to this guy. This is basically where all the information is dropped. He literally tells her the movie, which is so funny that it's just early on. The movie's like, here's the movie. He says that there are abilities that people have that some people don't, like, they're special abilities, superpowers that some people have, and he has them. And he is able to do things that some people think are scary. And so the townsfolk have basically called him a freak and made him go back into isolation to the point where the only people he can talk to is the dead. So that's the story. And he has another ability, because the next thing we see is that he is very excited to have someone to talk to, I guess, because he tries to hypnotize her.
Yeah, he does.
And the only reason this doesn't go through is the cat attacks him and slashes his hands.
I have a lot of questions about this, okay? Because the cat literally just straight up hypnotized that guy in the beginning of the movie, and he caused him to crash his vehicle and die.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get
Why
to
does the cat give a rat's ass about this girl who he's never even met, is not his owner, has nothing to do with him? He cares that the old man is trying to hypnotize her. And so he scratches the guy, attacks him right in his face.
This is a messy plot line, but I think it's kind of explainable.
All right, please do. Go ahead. All right,
so if we're just going to spoil the whole movie is virtually the cat is real, and he tried to use the cat by hypnotizing it when he was learning his superpowers or the gifts that he has. He used it on the cat to try to use the cat as a vessel to do whatever he wanted. So he was like forcing it or manipulating it. The problem is, he manipulated it. It didn't go exactly well because the cat manipulated him back mentally. So what happened here was he it read all of his anger. Yes. The cat started manifesting all of his emotions, and his emotions were extreme anger and frustration onto the townsfolk, who made him alienated and feel like a freak. So the cat, this entire movie, is getting revenge on all the townsfolk that talk shit about him.
You're the killer, Miles. You have extraordinary powers. The cat was only an instrument, just one of your victims. You entered his mind and took control of his will. You forced him to obey you. You forced him to kill.
No. I haven't wanted to kill. The beast just understood my suppressed hatred. And people's failure to understand. The frustration of the solitude I was forced into. They forced me to obey the evil side of my nature. That evil that exists in all of us. When I understood that, I decided to kill him, to suppress the evil.
But he's still alive.
Yes, he's still alive. He has beaten me. He's stronger than me now. He has destroyed my will. He is the evil one. He doesn't have to hide in the shadows. Now, I do. Whatever he wants.
Okay, I have a question. In the beginning of this movie, we forgot to mention there's a couple. A young couple.
I was going to
going into a boathouse to, you know, get their freak on. Yeah. And yeah, so they're making out and all this biz, and they're in a little boathouse, and the door becomes locked.
They're making out in the boat, and then they find, they're like, you know, I got a spot to make out more. Let's go into a boathouse where I know that there's a secret room that is, it's so airtight that there's, it has to use ventilation of an air conditioner to get its air, because they store the sails for the boats there, and I guess they don't want air to get in so they don't become moldy. I have no idea why.
Whatever that freaking explanation is, I don't even care.
No, I'm just trying to set that up because how bizarre this death sequence is.
It's so, I have no words for what is going on. Now, this the only reason we're talking about this particular scene in this movie is because of what you just said. You said
I don't understand it.
That the cat is getting revenge for the old man because he doesn't like the town talking shit about him.
It's not that he's doing it because the guy told him to. It's only because the cat is now become like a manifestation of his aggression.
So he's just going to go around town picking them off one by one until there's nobody left in town.
Virtually. Multiple times in this movie, the man says to the cat, I didn't want this. Like, I never asked for this.
Hmm.
And I can't stop him.
It's he who dominates me now.
Well, the cat crawls through the ventilation system and chews through the AC unit so that the two young people, they get locked in the room because he steals the key. The cat steals the damn key.
This whole thing is so weird. It's so airtight, this room. But there's a bed in there.
So if someone's sleeping in there.
Someone went to sleep in a room that they could accidentally get locked in and get killed by no air being in the room?
Yeah, but the air conditioner was working until the cat chewed through the freaking pipes.
We have an air conditioner. We had to replace it. Like, to me, it's like, that is a really, talk about Final Destination stuff.
I know.
Like,
I mean,
this seems like it's insane. I wouldn't stay in there. Yeah, there's a bed, and then this poor girl gets stuck in the room, and he's, like, trying to have sex with her. He lights a candle in the room. So now we know it's airtight. And I'm like, there's no air coming in. I don't know how any of this works.
I don't either, but, you know, here's the thing. This is a situation where the cat literally...
He's a little bastard.
...stole the key, chewed through the freaking... you know, air pipes or whatever, so that they would suffocate in there, because that's exactly what happened. But here's the thing. Why, though?
I don't know.
There's no reasoning.
I love this. The cat also puts the key. He puts a key in their boat.
Yeah.
It's like, pretty smart. I'm a little bastard.
Little smarty pants.
Yeah, I just got to point this out again, because this is very important. But to get into the air vent to cut the line... there has to be a way to get in.
Correct.
So why? How is there no air?
Right.
I don't get this death, because these two they do get locked in, and we actually see them foaming at the mouth because they've been in there for so long.
Yeah.
They're with no air, I guess.
With no air.
But I'm like, and then later on when we see their dead bodies, they're being eaten alive by rats. And I'm like, how did the rats get in?
But... you know, we can just ignore all that because, you know,
I can't ignore it. We'll just say it was so weird.
We can ignore all that because we could say that the rats came in through the hole that the cat came in to chew through the wires.
But then, you know what I would have been doing if I was the guy in this situation? I would have been going in that air vent. I wouldn't give a shit.
I know. Well, they don't even really try. Also, can we just say...
they're laying there naked. They didn't even get their clothes back on.
No, they didn't. And that wooden door is probably, like, you know, as strong as, like... you know, a piece of paper. You could kick through that door if you really wanted to get out of there. Like, come on. This guy sucked. But I mean, not only does this asshole bring this girl to some nasty, dirty little wooden shack to sleep with her and lays her on some filthy mattress, but he can't even save her in the end. Like, you suck, dude. Suck. I felt bad for her. That was the only death in this movie that I was like, oh, that sucks.
Now, the only reason we can even, like, figure out why this girl might have been killed by the cat is that we find out later on that her mother, who we see as, like, a single parent who is bringing, like, a guy home, looks at her. We don't even know who these characters are. We literally are not told who anybody
is.
No
introductions. They just show up.
And this character goes home with a guy and then says, oh, let me go check in on my daughter. And she opens the door and no one has been in the room and no one's been sleeping in the bed. So we're like, wait a minute. Is she talking about this girl? Because they don't seem that far off in age, first off. And I didn't understand, oh, it's got to be her. So it is. It's this girl is her daughter, and this woman randomly shows up and starts looking for her. And the first stop that she thinks of going to after it's been like a day, because I guess we should point out that a guy named Gorley or some shit like that. What's his name? Inspector Gorley. This actor shows up in the movie as an inspector who gets called in because of the missing people, the two kids missing.
Mm-hmm.
So he shows up in town. He's played by David Warbeck. He was in The Beyond.
Of course.
Last, yes. He shows up to try to do, you know, detective work to try to figure out where these kids could be. And we're hearing all these, like, stuff about what was going on, and hopefully they ran away together. But what we find out is that this woman now has nowhere to turn but to the professor character, this Miles guy, because they were together once and that she left him.
Yeah, but that's not his daughter.
Yeah, which they never say. We don't know where they, it sounds like they were married.
It's possible they were, but I mean, he seems significantly older than her.
Yes.
Significantly.
Yes.
And I know in the 50s, they didn't give a shit. The guys were 40 and the girls were 20 when they got married. But in this situation, I say no. I mean, I think maybe they had like a tryst, but like they weren't together. I mean, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But she's trying to ask him for help to find her daughter. And
she does give him like her ring or something that she has.
Yeah, and he says, you know, has a premonition, and he says, you know, there's water involved. There's water.
Even crazier, though, he actually basically relives her death.
Yeah, he
does. He's saying, like, all of her last words, and then the light goes out.
I mean,
and then he gets out of it.
If you have a power like this, wouldn't you use it for good? And not
well,
evil.
Well, that's the thing, is everybody doesn't believe him. And they're telling him he's a freak. They basically, everybody in town looks at him, looks down on him.
You know who wouldn't think he's a freak?
Professor X?
No. Okay. The town of Salem.
yeah, that's a little iffy. That's a little iffy.
I think they understand witchcraft and all that stuff.
No, they famously didn't.
Well, what do you mean famously didn't? Now they do. Much has been learned about witchcraft. Much has been learned. I mean, we have come a long way.
It wasn't witchcraft, though. It was. Anyways, we're back to witches again. Is that what you wanted to do here?
No. It just always comes back to witches. Sorry. But I won't talk about witches anymore. But
are you sure?
No.
No.
No, I'm not.
This
not
witchery sure. Right here. So, no, seriously.
He could have moved. He could have moved to a different town, you know.
Why should he have to move? They're the assholes.
Well, yeah, but the whole entire town doesn't believe him or care about him at all.
Yeah, and that's why they all need to go.
I mean, he's a little off-putting. No. The whole town?
Yeah.
That girl did not deserve to die. Like, the way she did, cat's doing the Lord's work, really? Yeah. Really? That poor innocent girl who just got lured in there by her stupid boyfriend?
I will admit, though, I don't know why he's so pushed over the edge to be a creeper to try to possess Jill. Do not know about that. That's where I get a little weirded out by the plot. I'm like, is he truly a bad guy, or is he just pushed into this aggression because of his loneliness? And I feel bad for him in that sense, but then he never shows one moment of being a good guy.
No,
except for helping this woman find her daughter.
Well, true, but it's because they have history.
Yes.
But like, even the cat doesn't like him. The cat hates him.
The cat's mad because he keeps helping people that he's mad against. Like, he's helping this woman who left him and obviously hurt him, which the cat recognizes and doesn't really like that he's helping her.
Oh, yeah. Well, she gets hers.
So they find the dead bodies of the kids. And this woman, unfortunately, goes home to her place. Now, I have to point out this actress's name is Dagmar Lassander. She was in House by the Cemetery and Devilfish. One of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. Devilfish is terrible.
That movie is bad.
It's so bad. Anyways, I have to point this out because what happens here is that the cat comes to kill her. And the way he does this is, the fireplace is lit. Is that what's going on?
Fireplace is lit, but
when she's sleeping.
This is what I'm always talking about with these cats, okay? They just take their little paw and they swoop the candle and there you go. Your whole entire house is burned to ash.
He actually hits the lamp with the kerosene lamp or whatever into the fireplace and sets the whole house on fire.
It goes up in like a matter of seconds, the whole house.
Now, the reason I brought up this actress is because she comes out and she tries to fight the flames, which I've never seen in a movie. Usually people just like get out.
Yeah.
She tries to stop it. The reason I pointed this out is because she was almost killed during the filming of the scene.
I believe it. What happened to her?
A breakaway wall fell on her. Almost killed her.
Oh my God. I believed at one point that she was going to get her nightgown caught on fire.
I believe this entire thing. She was in jeopardy.
That's what happened in the movie. She does get her nightgown caught on fire and she is engulfed.
She becomes one of the funniest dolls I have ever seen in film. It's like a mannequin flapping its arms while she's on fire. And they even do the close-up on the eyes for her on fire.
Yes.
But it's like a doll head.
Like popping out the eyes of a doll.
And it's just like close-up of a doll's eyes melting.
Yeah.
Her running around with the flapping arms. And then finally she jumps out the window. It takes a very long time for her to figure out, I can get out the window. She's dead at this point. She's full-on Ghost Rider. She's on fire. No, she's a candle. She jumps head first out the window, lands out in the street because she turns out she's like on the third floor.
Mm-hmm.
When she goes out the window, she becomes a rag doll. They throw a rag doll out into the street.
But why does she deserve to die? I don't understand. That he's just taking out every single citizen.
The cat was like, this bitch dumped you and left you for.
But the cat doesn't give a shit about the old man.
I told you already. He's a manifestation of his anger. It doesn't matter. He has no good, which is weird because the good is Jill. Like, he's like, Jill is left alone because she's the only one that's nice to you.
Yeah, I get it.
That's the only thing I can understand with the Jill plot line. Everybody else got to go in this cat's eyes. Like, everybody. If anybody comes and pisses on this guy, because that's exactly what happens. The guy who was talking shit at the bar is drunk and the cat goes to kill him.
Oh, yeah. He falls to his death and gets impaled.
But this is the first time we also see the cat teleport to the point where we thought there was multiple cats now.
I was confused by this.
I said, no, it's just teleporting. Is it really there? It's a superhero cat at this point. You know, that's exactly what's going on. I know you always love when I say a DC Comics reference. So I was going to say, so now he's full on Dextar and he is jumping around and he has superpowers now.
Nerd.
So, yes. He tricks this guy into, he runs like a dumbass into a construction site, goes all the way up the stairs. This is the scene where the cat unlocks the door for 20 minutes.
Okay. I've never seen this in a movie before, but it's literally one of those metal, like steel doors with those arms that come down, the latch. And this cat actually like jumped on this latch and pulled it down, and that thing looked heavy.
Yeah.
And unlocked the friggin' door. I was like, this is next level.
It's heavy because we see the entire movement of the latch.
Oh, yeah. It looked heavy. This is a pretty cool scene, and the cat, I think, did a good job, the animal
trainer. Yeah, it looks like they stuck something on the door because he seems like he's eating something or trying to get something.
Well, it had to do something there. Which made me think that they
hooked his arm onto it.
Oh.
I was thinking that the whole time. I was like, oh, they have his arms and he's trying to get out.
Oh, that's kind of mean.
You know how this is. You know how these things go. Unfortunately, this is our favorite thing, is that the guy, the drunk, is also watching the latch move and not doing anything like you yelled out, just put the latch down, dude.
Yeah.
You're stronger than the cat. And he's so scared of this cat that he doesn't move. And he literally walks himself out to death. He just falls onto a rebar and gets impaled. Now, I was like laughing because why do we have to watch this cat unlock this door when we know that he can just travel?
Yeah, he teleports.
He can teleport all over.
I mean, I guess we needed some cool cat moments because all we're getting so far is like random scratches and then like the eye zoom in.
On everybody, on every single
person, on every animal, everything.
The Professor Miles guy, they do not show him in a scene without zooming up on his eyebrows and his eyes. It is over and over. And like every shot of him has to be like that.
Yeah. It was just too much for me. I couldn't take it anymore. I was like, all right, every single shot is just eyeballs.
Now, another funny thing happens that's a trope to me that I cannot stand is that every character in any of these movies want to have sex with each other. Everybody instantly, even if they have no chemistry, everybody is horny as hell for each other. And it is, to me, just like bothersome. Mm-hmm. It feels so forced and it feels like, oh, no, we have to have sex. We have to have sex and violence in my movie. And that's exactly what happens here because the moment that the detective that came into town to try to figure out all these deaths are happening, he sees that Jill, the photographer, and is instantly into her. And
she's cute as hell. She looks like a cross between Mia Farrow and Amy Steele from
Friday the 13th you're absolutely Part 2. Right. Yeah.
She's cute.
Totally. That's a great pick for who it is. Oh, I forgot to... I didn't even notice this in the movie, but the doctor in this movie is Fulci. I forgot to say that. He's in this movie as the doctor. I think it's at the end. I don't even think we noticed.
You miss it.
Yeah. Anyways, the inspector gets her to take photographs of the crime scenes. And we see that she has figured out that the drunk who fell to his death has scratches from the cat on his hand.
Yeah. So that's what you do. You know, I don't care where you are in the world. You have just some, you know, random, just, you know, person,
yeah.
You know, civilian, take crime scene photos.
Yeah. And
that's something you do.
Oh, you're a photographer? You should come and do this.
Oh, my God. I would have left
this town.
I would have left town at this point.
And I think the idea is that the small town doesn't have any photographer for crimes because crimes don't happen here.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
I guess that's what's happening.
But I mean, if this cat had like... So these two have a vendetta against the town, and the town has a vendetta against them, meaning the cat and the old man. And why did it take this long for this biz to start happening?
Oh, that's my favorite question about movies. Why did it start now? Because Jill came. Yeah. I mean, they're suggesting that just recently he tried to possess his cat. Now, by the way, it is important to say here is that he has now figured out that the cat is on a killing spree, mm-hmm. and he doesn't want to happen, especially since that woman, that his ex and her daughter were murdered. He decides to kill the cat. So he drugs the food, which is raw meat, and puts it in a
burlap sack.
He's got an attic where he has hay all over the floor for some reason. And that's why the cat lives up there. I don't know what's going on, but the cat does eat it. He is drugged. And you think, oh, all he has to do now is throw him in a fire or bury him.
No, he puts him in a burlap sack and takes him outside so he can string him up like a witch.
Yeah, like a witch, which he actually said. He's like, oh, if it was a human, we would have hung him.
See?
So he's like, oh. So he made a cute little cat noose.
You think it's cute? I think it was savage.
It made me smile that he made a little noose.
You're savage.
And he hangs the cat, and we see the cat hanging in the shadow, which made me question how they filmed it, and I didn't really particularly feel good about it.
No, didn't feel good about it. I don't know. Is there any trivia on that?
No, I couldn't find anything. But when you watch these movies, you just go, animal abuse?
Back then?
Yeah, especially from a director like this. I'm like, there was some animal abuse going on here.
Seeing movies like Roar? Isn't that the one where...
Well, that wasn't much as animal abuse as human abuse.
Well, true. Everyone was dying in that movie.
No one died, but... they shouldn't have died.
I mean, the one guy got his arm ripped off or something, right? Or bit in the head or
yeah,
bit in the...
Well, Melanie Griffin and what's her face were mauled.
Oh, yeah. And that movie was fucked up.
Yeah, so...
But I do believe they do injure animals in these movies. I don't care if
especially
they say
these Italian,
no animals
yeah,
were hurt.
These kind of movies, I'm like, oh, definitely. Some of the American ones, when I was reading into it with the trainers, really interesting steps were taken. And we did see in the Chinese one we did last week where they actually fired the guy because he was endangering the animals.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's kind of interesting. So yeah. At least they were stepping up
well,
and
taking care
of the
animals.
Well, good
on them. At least they realized that shit was happening. They need to put a stop to
it. That's what I'm thinking. So here, I was a little weirded out by this, but we have to get an entire sequence where the cat is jumping all around. Like, it's the cat goes, for some reason, even Jill sees the cat, a shadow of the cat being hung. It explodes like her windows and wakes her up in the middle of the night. I don't know what the hell's going on there. It's like this psychic energy. But the weirdest thing is now the cat is transcended because he is full on undead.
Like he doesn't, yeah, but he doesn't physically need to be in the area to cause havoc, you know?
It's like
he wasn't there.
Psychologically, he's like doing some kind of some kind of attack with his spirit. I have no idea what he's doing.
Weird.
But it wakes Jill up and it makes her see the cat hanging thing. That it even burns onto the wall, but then he comes back. He almost burns the whole house down, the guy, because he's seeing all this stuff. And then the cat is no longer in the noose. And then the painting of the cat hanging on the noose is gone. It's just the noose now.
Yeah,
so,
that's kind of neat.
And when I said painting, it was burned onto the wall.
It was
because
like
it almost
etched
burned the place
in. Yeah, because he dropped a candle and almost burned down the whole place because he got scared and startled. So, I mean, that would startle anyone seeing the painting and like the cat's gone.
Yeah.
Like, that would freak me out. Oh. He buried the cat underneath where he hung him.
Yeah. And I got to say, this is the problem with this movie, is that these are interesting ideas, just done
very poorly.
Very badly. Like, nothing is exciting.
No.
Like, everything sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it's like the way that they do it are like dull.
Yeah.
And I guess the next thing that happens is, of course, the detective and Jill meet up. She's virtually telling him, I think it's the cat. She does that thing from The Bog where she was like, now don't look at me weird, but... Do you think we have a cat attack on our hands? You know, that kind of thing. And everybody's like, that's crazy. But she has proof because she's like multiple photos. There's cat wounds. There's cat. They found the cat hair in the air vent.
Uh-huh.
By the way, there's little paw prints. Couldn't they do that multiple times in this movie? Made me laugh every time.
Little tiny
paw prints.
And toe beans.
Yeah. And toe beans. And then the wounds on the guy's hand. And I think there was another body that there was like, oh, there's cat stuff. They're like, well, the cat didn't burn the house down. It's like, cats knock things over all the time, man.
Oh my God, man. Okay, so, first of all, hey, Beck, if you're listening, don't light a candle. Don't light a candle. Because I know you have cats and I don't trust them.
They love swatting things off of ledges.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, take their little toe beans and just swoop it. There goes your whole couch. Just saying.
Well, I guess naturally, this Detective Gorley guy and Jill, they automatically are like, hey, we're into each other, and they start making out in her house. But the weirdest thing happens is because the next moment he's walking in the street, and I didn't even know it was him. Like the way that this was filmed, I was like, who is this guy now? It's him.
It's
he's
inspector.
Wearing a turtleneck, by the way.
He is wearing a turtleneck. You know, that doesn't necessarily make him a villain. It just makes him this particular guy, he's just not very fashion conscious.
Sure. I like it.
Savvy, fashion savvy. but he does get attacked in his face multiple times by the cat, and you know what, he doesn't even try to run away. This is very impressive.
It's like it's also trying to hypnotize him.
The cat jumps on his face repeatedly, scratching the shit out of his face.
It scratches both sides of his face. He's got blood pouring all over the place. It does finally hypnotize him instead of just killing him and makes him get hit by a car that's coming.
He survives this.
Which we didn't know. We thought he was
dead. We thought he was dead for sure.
I had to go online and go, was that Gorley? Was that the cop?
Yes.
And I know I had to look it up because I just didn't know what was happening. I kept saying to you, who is this?
He's the one from Scotland Yard that had the motorcycle, which he never freaking drives it. No. Did you notice that? He
doesn't do anything. No. Like, he's just walking in the street drunk after making out with a girl. I didn't know what was I didn't know what was going on. I just thought this, I assumed this was another guy pissed everybody off, but it was Gourley. And he gets hit by a car and they're trying to, like, oh, was it a, she's asking the guy who hit him with the car. At
did
the
you
police
see
station,
a cat?
Did you see a cat? Okay. Now, no. Gourley has cat scratches all over his face. I was like, I think there's proof this time.
Yeah, but that could have been chalked up to maybe he, you know, kind of hit the front of the car and got scratched up. Yeah. I don't know.
And she goes, was he hypnotized? And the guy's like, what? Well, you said he was acting robotic in the street. Do you think he was hypnotized? Did you see a cat? The guy's like, I don't know. I don't know any of this crap.
I mean, how can you see a black cat in the pitch blackness of the town that's happening right now? How would you see a black cat?
I know.
Okay, there's that. Also, these streets in this tiny little town, it's like a teensy tiny little town with like those, you know, a cobblestone street.
Yeah.
Why are you driving 80 miles an hour
in
there?
And that happens multiple times. And actually, there's a scene in this movie where the cop stops the other cop coming into town saying, you're speeding. And he was.
He was speeding on his motorcycle.
On his motorcycle. And the guy's like, I'm going to give you a ticket. No one speeds around here. And then the next scene we see is this guy's like going 60 down a small little street.
Yeah.
Like,
and
in the middle
beginning,
of the night.
Too, the guy that got killed in the beginning that went through the windshield, was also speeding. So I'm like, what? And all these like little twists and turns and stuff. Like, come on. Y'all are dumb.
Yeah.
Just dumb.
Well, she naturally is like, the cops don't believe me. It's a cat. She goes and confronts Miles at his house, which is the worst thing you could do. And basically, we get the whole thing here. He says that the cat is grown past him. He can't kill it. He can't stop it. It's doing things that he never wanted it to do. He was angry, and he was testing his power, and it went out of control, and now the cat is on. He's like, now he's my master. The cat is now controlling me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. What happens is that it basically goes to kill. He goes to kill Jill, and he knocks her out, which is so funny. She runs away from him into a room of bats. This is how stupid this movie gets.
Okay, this is the first time in this movie that I actually laughed because the bat is literally just hovering right on her head and flapping her head with its wings.
Multiple fishing hook bats flying around.
It was so funny. I was like, is that really, like, it's literally just hovering on her head,
backwards.
Flapping its wings.
It's actually backwards, too. It's got its butt on her head, and it just keeps hitting her head.
It was
and
funny.
And she's just screaming. And we're like, what is happening now? There's a room of bats? Where are we?
This movie went from, like, really, like, a snoozer through this whole time until right now I'm laughing.
Yeah, she runs from the cat, runs from Miles, runs from the bats, runs into the room with Miles again. He just hits her in the head with a pipe.
Hits her in the head, and then he...
I laughed so hard during the pipe.
He buries her. I know, you did laugh.
That was my favorite laugh.
It was like a clunk.
Yeah, he just clogged, just hits her so hard in the head. But it made me laugh because she could not find a corner. Like, no. I was hoping she was going to run another corner of rats.
Yeah,
and then run another corner into a spider web.
Something.
I would have laughed so hard.
This part was comical, but
it made me think of OJ in Naked Gun.
Oh my
like,
God.
Just hitting everything by accident.
I know,
way.
Which we just watched.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah, so she gets... Okay. I don't know what the reasoning is here, because this girl literally doesn't do anything so terrible to this man, you know, to deserve this. He literally seals her up in a wall to die.
Yeah, and I think that is the only thing, maybe, besides Black Cat being involved. Isn't that what happens in the story?
Yeah, I think so. But I think, didn't something happen where the person got sealed up in the wall because... maybe there was like a retaliation. This girl didn't do anything.
Yeah, I don't know why he's doing it, because he knows, she knows. Now, the weirdest part about this is he walls her into the wall, which I'm guessing is the only thing from the book is like someone gets walled in. But I think from the story. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
But I think that does happen.
I'm pretty sure that's where that happens there.
Yeah.
But the I guess the thing is that he starts in the story, he keeps hearing the cat in the wall.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's like giving away that like the cat was dead. I don't know. Anyways, here the opposite happens. The cops figure out, it turns out Gourley's just fine. He gets out of bed. He's like, I'm good. He has no scratches on his face.
None.
He got mauled by a cat.
I mean,
he doesn't have a scratch.
Several times. The cat jumped on his face at least three times, yeah. Scratching the shit out of him.
His entire face. Like, there is no way he doesn't have scratches. He says, I know what's going on. We have to get over there. It was the cat.
Yeah.
So they figure out. They go to the hotel. Her room's messed up. Then they go, I think that she went to the house. So they go to see this guy. The guy's acting like everything's fine, but they hear a cat in the basement. Mm-hmm. So they follow the sound of the cat, and the cat is meowing, and it sounds like it's coming from the wall. So naturally, they smash the wall down. They find Jill all messed up on the other side of the wall, and the cat jumps out and like all of the wall jumps out at them.
And then it just zooms in on his mouth, like snarling, and that's Finn.
Well, the guy says, he basically mutters to them, like, I'm not in control. I can't stop it. We're never going to be able to stop it. And then that's like the movie.
Yeah.
And then we actually see the same opening sequence with the cat walking with the music again.
Yeah. Yep. Well, in the short story, the corpse, the wife's corpse does get walled in. She's
That's right.
Dead. I don't think Jill is dead here.
No.
But I do know that
I was just saying they were taking, that's the only thing I could think of that they were taking from that story.
Yeah. So yeah, they do have like a, the wife tries to stop him or whatever. And that's what happens. He kills her, in the short story. But otherwise, I gotta tell you, This movie was boring as hell. I was bored. There wasn't any scenes in this where we're like, oh, that looks good, you know, as with like the, you know, dog movies where we had some like good stuff happening in the dog movies.
Yeah, nothing.
Like, you know, good animal training moments and stuff like that. Good gore. Not this one. This one was boring. Like I was like, wow, they made an hour and a half long movie out of a short story. They took artistic liberties. They had so much that they could have done, but they gave us this.
Well, I love, that's the thing I get so upset about is like, wow, what a cool idea. Like, someone is learning that they might have special abilities. Like you think scanners or something,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, oh, people can start doing this. And what if you started trying to control something, but you lost control of it and it backfired on you? And how cool of an idea that is, especially with a cat being the creepy thing. It's such a fun idea, and having it going after people and killing them is like a cool concept, and it's just done awfully.
Yeah.
So the whole movie, it just feels like a failed experiment in itself.
It really does. You know, I would feel better if they actually changed it up where like the townsfolk were just blatantly rude to him, and then they were the ones that got killed. But the victims in this movie, it wasn't warranted.
No, that's the biggest problem in the movie, I think, is that you needed to meet the victims. You need to meet people. You have to have like a premise. Like if this was maybe tackled like the movie The Fog, where we get this people, we get to know this town.
Mm-hmm.
We know all the people in it. There is no characters coming from out of town. Maybe just show us the people in town and then have this guy being the outsider, and we see what's going on around it, and then that, and then go from there. Like everything starts happening after, and we follow it in order instead of just saying, oh, they used to pick on me and now I'm mad and now it starts happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like set it up, have your main characters be the characters in town. I think that's the big problem. If anything, the local cop should have met the girl instead of a new guy coming from out of town as well. And the you know, the guy with the mustache,
mm-hmm.
if him and the girl started in a relationship and he was talking to her about the town and what had happened, and he was our eyes of what's going on.
Yeah. That would have been better.
It would have been more interesting.
Something, I just feel like nothing really happened. It was just, a lot of it was just implied, and I just feel like the story was just lacking big time.
I think even Fulci himself agrees with us because he said he only did this movie to please the producer.
What?
This is one of those movies that he had to do for somebody else.
Oh, so like a favor?
Yeah, he said it was a favor.
Oh, so okay. All right, then. Well, I guess he feels the same as us.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So what would you give this score-wise?
Three? A four? Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I know. This is a tough one for me. I'm going to say I probably have to land on a three or four.
All right, I'm not going above a three. I'm struggling to even give it a three because I feel like the only really likable person was our main girl.
And she wasn't even in it.
She wasn't even in it enough. There was no characters that we were supposed to really care about, except, you know, you kind of felt some kind of way when the young daughter died in the beginning. She was like, okay, why? What was the reasoning for this? But it wasn't like it didn't hit your feels or anything. You kind of just were like, oh, okay, we don't even know her.
Yeah.
I mean, that's that.
I think that the lead actor playing Miles, the kind of bad guy here, I think that he is really creepy.
Oh, 100%.
I think he was a really good choice.
Yes.
I just don't think he was given good material. Mm-hmm. But the scenes in which he's listening to or trying to talk to the dead or listen to the dead talk, it's actually pretty interesting. And so that's why, I think my only positives come in. Is that stuff. Now, as far as the music and stuff, the score, we didn't even talk about the score. It sometimes sounds like certain other movies. There was a weird Temple of Doom-esque soundtrack at one point. I didn't know what was happening with the score. And there was another one that sounded like the Black Hole from Disney a little bit. It was so weird to me. I kept thinking about the movie like that more than anything else. I know this from something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, nothing stood out.
Nothing stood out. It wasn't, I will not remember this. I'm not going to ever remember that I watched it.
No.
We'll
forget.
They will. But I guess I'll do my segment of why we can't have nice things, where I will read out some reviews on IMDb and as proof that people can't review movies and they ruin it for everybody because this...
I love how depressed you sound when you're reading this.
I mean, because this pisses me off. Like when people write stupid crap, I understand that you're just going with your emotions because you just saw a movie and you want to write what your feelings are. And that's exactly what we do. But I just feel like there's got to be, you can't give a movie a one-star review if it has some redeeming qualities according to you, Like, they say, oh, this was okay, and this was decent, and this was... Okay, well, then why are you giving it a one-star review? Or they'll give it a 10-star review, and they'll be like, well, there's trouble here in the directing, the cinematography was off, the score wasn't that good. But overall, it was a very enjoyable experience. 10 out of 10.
I hate it.
No! It's not a 10.
Yeah.
So, I found a 1 here. It's the only 1 on IMDb for this movie. There are no 10s. I'm just going to read snippets of this one. This is a long review, so I'm going to read the things that stood out to me. This is a 1 out of 10. Do not let this movie cross your path. From the sublime to the substandard, Poe's Black Cat story has had so many movie incarnations over the years, the best probably being Your Vice is a Locked Room and Only I Have the Key from 1972. That's a giallo. Should I have expected anything directed by hackmaster Lucio Fulci to come anywhere near the quality of that movie after suffering the abysmal dreck of his other movie from 1981, The Beyond. I guess I got what I deserved spending money and time on this attempt to tackle the classic story, no matter how liberal his writer was with the material. What material? There's nothing here. As with The Beyond, this is just a bunch of completely disconnected scenes where people are killed by a black cat, while multiple story threads are set up and then immediately abandoned. Not a single part of this movie has any connection to any other part. It's all a jumble of nonsense, with only the loosest link to the original story and other adaptations coming in at the very end. Okay, so he says, Lucio Fulci was the worst director to have ever walked the face of the earth.
Oh, wow.
And you'd be better off spending your time cleaning deep inside the bowl of a public toilet with a three-bristled toothbrush and some phlegm. It would be a more satisfying experience.
Wow.
So.
Good Lord.
Rough.
Jeez.
Okay, that is brutal and unnecessary. He is not the worst director.
No, and okay. In fact, I will say we also did not 100% enjoy The Beyond.
No.
But it's undeniably fascinating, and it has a great score, and it has some really interesting concepts going on. Mm-hmm. I think that it's like a mess overall, but definitely not the worst. And I have re-edited it. I've seen that movie 3 times now. It is a very, very strange and interesting film. Definitely more interesting than this movie. But I couldn't give any of these movies a 1. Without a doubt, you have to give him credit. He constantly is coming up with stuff on the cheap.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's doing the best he can for the budget he had. And I get it. It's just the tone of the movie was very flat. And we know that he has done movies where the tone is not flat at all. So I don't know what happened here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like to point out The Beyond from the same year and or House by the Cemetery. It's like they have a feel. There's something unique about them. Not great, but not that bad. Not the worst. This guy's got to go see some Uwe Boll films.
Yeah. I mean, you want to do Talking Trash for a month? We'll take his movies.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if I could sit through them again.
Well, he's got a lot we haven't seen. But was there any nines or anything you wanted to read?
No, I think that's it. I mean, nothing noteworthy here. I just thought that 10 out of 10 was, or sorry, that 1 out of 10 was a bad.
I was hoping you were going to go and read some of the ones from the high reviews because I'm fascinated about what people like because this does have a close 6 almost on IMDb.
It does. I mean,
it is interesting that people like it that much.
Yeah, I mean, I got some nines. It says 9 out of 10, The Cat of Nine Tails. Awaiting to watch the main feature to the most recent DVD that I have picked up from Shameless, I watched the pre-film trailers. Amongst the previews for the other giallos, the clips for this film have always stayed in my head, mostly due to the plot of the film looking so over the top. Recently, I have really been starting to click with the work of Italian director Lucio Fulci, and since this film looked like a good opportunity to see Fulci in a full flight of fancy, I decided that it was time to pay a visit to Fulci's amazing pet.
What was it that he said about Cat of Nine Tails?
So, no, that was the title of the review, The Cat of Nine Tails.
That's weird, because that's another movie.
Yeah, it is.
That's an odd.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's an Argento film.
Yeah, and so.
That's weird.
Then he goes on to give a synopsis of the film, but he said, having just become a fan of Lucio Fulci. Thanks to his highly underrated giallo, Seven Notes, and Nero, I was thrilled to see that with the brilliant flight of fancy gothic giallo screenplay as support, Fulci delivered on his directing, well beyond any of my expectations, due to Lucio getting rid of the three-shoot rule, a wide, medium, and close-up shot, and instead making simple scenes extremely eye-catching with the camera, doing some beautifully styled long shoots. One of my favorite moments in the film being the boyfriend of the soon-to-be-murdered couple locking the door to the docking bay generator, with Fulci filming the scene by showing things heating up between the couple and then continuing the shot by tracking the boyfriend locking the door and then pulling out to have the camera return to its original spot, all in one shot. Lucio decides to show some moments in the film from the cat's point of view. I was left a little bit disappointed that he had not decided to film the cat's point of view in a stylish way with a black and white film stock, although with Fulci brilliantly making it seem plausible that one aggressive, murdering cat could put an entire village in fear. I felt at the end of this fantastic gothic giallo that here is a very impressive director who can turn any absurd-sounding story into a full-on gripping film whose flight of fancy are handled by a stunningly skilled hand.
Yikes. Wow. Jesus. All right.
I mean, yeah.
Fascinating. I did catch some of that directing in that scene he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't stylized enough to make it stand out as something really fascinating.
No.
So I didn't catch it as what that person was speaking about. But fascinating. Okay, that's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Well, let's say this. We said this isn't the worst movie ever made. This
no,
is not. But not I think worst, it does it belong on our list.
It does belong on the list because it was flat out a snoozer.
Now, I have to sooner or later kick off War of the Gargantuas from our top 10 because it is as opposed to these other movies on this list, it is not that bad. I think we overly disliked that movie for the weirdest reasons, but I definitely think this is going to go right at number 9, this movie, and push War toward leaving the list.
All right.
I'm going to put this right after Sasquatch Hunters.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah. This is going to be number 9.
Okay. Number 9. That sounds good. I mean, yeah this movie was not a good movie. It was, if you're tired, don't watch this. In fact, don't watch it, period. But I'm just saying, like, you know, if you're, I wasn't even tired, but it
bored
put
us.
Me in a trance where I was like, ugh.
I do think that we both started looking at our phones. So we were like, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, I was like, okay, well, let me look up some reviews real quick. And I just briefly found some, you know, tidbits. But ultimately, I will forget that I watched this. I really will.
Yeah, I agree. I'm hoping that we stumble onto something more interesting next week. I so far, we're in a downward spiral of cats.
Well, what did I tell you?
Yeah, and you might have won the bet between the two movies, the set of movies we're doing.
Yeah.
Only time will tell. I'm pretty sure right now we are definitely cats are losing.
Dog movies are just more fun.
You could do more with a dog.
Yeah, you could do more.
Doing something with a cat, I was thinking about this a lot, and that's why I was so mad about this movie because it had such an intriguing idea.
Yeah.
And knowing Fulci's other work, I expected this movie to be like insane with gore. Crazy music and over-stylized stuff. Mm-hmm. I was expecting wacky stuff to make us laugh, and we didn't get any of that, unfortunately, but I do think the concept was a really interesting avenue for cats to be in a film like this. The dog ones are so easy, and they're all very similar, so there was only one that stood out as being different. That would be Dracula's dog. But, like, I don't know if there's a Dracula cat movie, but I'd have to look into it.
Oh, my God.
But, I can't imagine. We had an alien cat, and now we had a possessed cat.
Yep.
Or not possessed, but not no, a superpower cat.
I mean,
kind of. I don't know.
I don't we'll like see you the next whole week. The superpower thing. I don't think that's what's happening here. I don't. It's just not. That's superpowers. And when I think superpowers, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Using some kind of, like, you know, magic for good or something. I don't know.
Did you want this cat to slap on a helmet and a cape and fly around like Magneto?
Maybe I did.
All right.
And why'd you have to say Magneto? Because you know I love Magneto.
Sure. Who doesn't?
Magneto's awesome.
Yeah.
I wish I had his powers when I was driving to work, you know? Just, like, wave my finger and just be like, psht, and all the cars would just fly away. You know, and then I have no traffic on the way in.
I think you're that guy. I think if you put your mind in the cat, he would go on a killing spree. And that would be the problem. So I think you're him.
That's the thing. I think that cats and I, like, we don't get along because we both have kind of strong personalities. I think maybe like they're looking at me and be like, this bitch thinks she's better than me.
Yeah, I do think that's a thing.
But you know what? I don't. Like, I'll tell you. I had an encounter with my sister's cat, and all I was doing was sitting on the couch, just sitting there, minding my own business, watching TV, and this cat starts using my leg as a scratching post. I was wearing shorts. It was brutal. I was screaming. And there's no reasoning. Like, you could use literally anything else in the whole house to scratch on, but it had to be my leg. That's diabolical. It's diabolical, okay? Like, they know I'm a living being. And You're clawing me. Why? Fuck cats. They're awful. Awful. Sorry, they are.
So on that note,
I'm done now. I just want to tell you my anecdote that I have had a lot of encounters, okay? I'm telling you. It has never been pleasant. No cat has ever just snuggled on my lap and said, pet me, and I'll purr.
That's not true.
No, never.
I've seen cats be nice.
Nope. No
yeah,
cat has
I don't
ever
believe
been.
You.
What cat? First of all, I try not to put myself in a situation where I'm around cats because they're just going to murder me straight up. I've never been around a nice cat. Never. Not once. It has not tried to hurt me, injure me, you know, scare me, you know, like hypnotize me, their sorcery. None of that. None of that.
I think I just fell asleep mentally.
You're fine. You know what? I'm out of here. I'm going to my bed. I've had enough of you.
Oh man, what a note to leave on. Holy crap. We just fell down the rabbit hole on this one. Oh man.
I just need you to understand my point of view. Go to bed. I'm done with you.
I understand. We all understand. Everybody loves you. You know what, guys? Until next time, because I don't know what else to say to you anymore. You love cats? Tell me all about it. You know, you hate cats? Yeah, go tell Joe about it at The Crafty Misfit on Instagram. And I'm at Just Another Movie Night. And you know what? I'd love to hear any of it. Just tell us. I appreciate you. Thanks for listening. Until next time, have a good one. Bye.
Let me give you some advice. Don't go down there anymore.
Why not?
My grandfather told me when I was a lad that the dead like to be left alone. They're not very hospitable.
I didn't think policemen were superstitious.
Perhaps in London they aren't, but in a village like ours, good day, miss.
Bye.